Case number 13-7109, Masrin Mohammadi and other class members et al. Appellants versus Islamic Republic of Iran et al. Mr. Klayman for the appellants.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
My pleasure to be in front of you. This is an extremely important case, not just with regard to the Mohammadi family. I'm going to read you a portion of Judge Howell's decision, which bears on how serious the violations of human rights, crimes against humanity, and other acts of terrorism were with regard to this family, a freedom-fighting family that began in Iran but later emigrated to the United States. She held at page 352, as a recitation of the factual background above makes clear, this case involves serious violations of human rights and international law. The entire Mohammadi family has been devastated by the heinous actions of the Iranian regime, and they continue to carry deep emotional and physical scars as a result of these actions. Akbar Mohammadi is one of the great heroes of the freedom movement in Iran. He stood for regime change. His positions were supported by the United States, by our State Department. If indeed he had been successful, and people that came after him successful, in removing that regime, we would not have the situation we have today in Iran. We would not have a nuclear Iran. We would not have these continuing human rights violations, which devastate every aspect of their society. What I want to focus on in this argument is the alien tort statute at 28 U.S.C. 1350, which applies to claims that touch and concern the U.S., dealing with human rights violations, crimes against humanity, torture, extrajudicial killing, material support for terrorism overseas. In this particular instance, we have a Supreme Court decision to guide us. And although the lower court judge uses that to reason that she has no subject matter jurisdiction, in fact, it shows the opposite. And that's what I want to make clear. For instance, Justice Kennedy, in his concurring opinion to Chief Justice Roberts, where in this case, the Kiobel case, found that what happened in Nigeria did not touch the United States, that all was at issue was the fact that there was an incorporation here in the United States. The case with the Mohammadis is totally different. And in fact, what Justice Kennedy wrote squares with what I just read you from Judge Howell's decision, where he says and finds, serious violations of international law principles may rebut presumptions of extraterritoriality. In addition, Justice Breyer also concurred. And he says, where the defendant's conduct substantially and adversely affects an important national interest, that therefore the court can reach through the alien tort statute.
The alien tort statute, it still has the sovereign immunity problem, right? I think the cases hold that the alien tort statute does not override sovereign immunity if it's not otherwise overridden under the FSIA.
Well, Your Honor, it is overridden under the FSIA. In situations of torture, in situations of extrajudicial killing, in situations of material support, it is overridden there. And the reason for that is that we have to be able to reach these acts that affect the United States. It's a narrow exception to the jurisdiction that's overridden, but it does apply here. And what's important is that we not only had Akbar Mohammadi and Manager Mohammadi, his brother, who were arrested, tortured, held in prison for 7 years, hung upside down by their hands, their genitals were burned, there was psychological torture, fake executions. Manager eventually escaped, Akbar died. The family of the Mohammadis, after Akbar died and Manager came to the U.S., have been subjected to continuing acts of torture and coercion and, in fact, material support. We have testimony from former CIA Director James Woolsey and Ken Timmerman, another expert, that the Iranian regime is present here in the United States. These individuals of the Iranian regime, directed by the Ayatollah Khomeini and also by Ahmadinejad, the president at the time, carried out these acts of continued custodial type of torture here in the U.S. So we not only have the acts overseas, but we have the acts here.
So with respect to the acts overseas, do you agree with the reading? I think you're relying on the terrorism exception. And do you agree
Correct.
That the individuals have to be considered nationals of the United States in order to state a claim with respect to those acts overseas?
Not with regard to the alien tort statute. No. That would apply with regard to 25 U.S.C. 1605A.
Right,
which is not the alien tort statute.
I thought we just established that in order to go under the alien tort statute, you'd have to show that you can get by foreign sovereign immunity. And in order to get by foreign sovereign immunity, you have to fit within the terrorism exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunity Act. And in order to fit within that exception for the acts, for the pre-2006 acts overseas, it seems like you'd have to get in the box of nationals of the United States.
Well, first of all, we do have. I would respectfully disagree with that interpretation. But in essence here, we also have Nazreen Mohammadi.
Wait. Judge Srinivasan's raising an important point. He's trying to, as we all are, trying to figure out your line of reasoning. That was your line of reasoning. And if it's not, tell me, please, so I understand.
Because
he took you through what I think we all heard was your line of reasoning, starting with ATS. And you said the way you get around the problem is you go to the terrorist section, which you have to be a national in the United States. Not that is not your theory. Tell us.
No, my reading of the alien tort statute is, as it was amended with regard to the Torture Victims Protection Act, is that you don't have to be, in fact, a national. You can also even be an alien. That's my reading of it. You know, this is a confusing error.
It's not a waiver of sovereign immunity, the alien tort statute. It's the problem on the sovereign immunity side. I understand on the merits and the cause of action side what you're driving at, and I understand that. But I think on the sovereign immunity side, you still have to go back to the terrorism exception, and the terrorism exception is limited to nationals, U.S. nationals. And at the time, the terrorism acts occurred here, clients were not U.S. nationals. I think that's the issue, right?
I respectfully don't read it that way. Mm-hmm. But in addition, I want to point out we also had individual defendants here, mm-hmm. the Ayatollah Khomeini and the President Ahmadinejad. We had testimony from former CIA Director Woolsey and Ken Timmerman, who's a renowned expert in terrorism, that the acts that occur here, for instance, during the time that Manager came here and his sisters came here, there were Iranian agents here that were calling them, threatening them with death, going overseas and telling the parents that they were going to pay a price, that they would be killed. These individuals did act in terms of this case. So we also have individuals here as defendants, not just the government of Iran.
Now, as to those, the district court found that the claims against the individuals should be treated as claims against the sovereign because the sovereign is the real party in interest?
They did, and I respectfully disagree with that. You know, the basis of the Alien Tort Claims Act was meant to reach actions overseas originally. It's been broadened now to the United States as well. But in this instance, under common concepts of international law, you lose that sovereign immunity. Acts of terrorism and torture are not subject to sovereign immunity under any circumstance. And I recognize that the law here is very convoluted, and it's very complex, and it's difficult to interpret. And I respectfully submit that Judge Howell, who made a good faith effort, and she recognized the terrible things that happened to our clients, and she wanted to create a record, but she misinterpreted what that law is. There is no sovereign immunity for acts of terrorism. It doesn't exist. Iran is a terrorist country. Are we saying they're immune because they happen to be a state? But they're on our designated list of terrorist countries. They've lost any sovereign immunity. We're talking about Iran. We're not talking about...
Why do you think Congress limited the exception to U.S. nationals?
Let me discuss the U.S. nationals, too, if I may. I don't believe that the exception was limited on the Alien Tort Claims statute.
Right.
To
but
nationals.
In the FSIA, obviously, it's limited to U.S. nationals.
It is.
And
it
you
is.
May, you make a compelling case about the facts, but as you allege them, but Congress limited that exception to U.S.
nationals.
You
know why they did that? Honestly. I'll give you an example. Years ago, I brought a case against Fidel Castro in Belgium for crimes against humanity. Castro does many of the same things as the Iranian regime, torture, killing. I represented a number of victims. And under Belgian law, I was able to file a criminal case against Castro there for the victims. As that was occurring, Palestinians were filing cases against George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld in the same court. And what created was an international situation where the United States took this position that we're no longer going to have an extraterritorial reach except under the circumstances that I've just mentioned where it does affect the United States. And I think that counts for some of the sentiment in Congress and elsewhere that they're trying to limit the reach here because what they did was open the door for other countries to bring cases against our officials.
Right.
Can I make one last point?
Certainly.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
The point I'm making here is that this is a very extreme case, is that Akbar Mohammadi and Manager Mohammadi, they pledged their allegiance to this country. We set forth law where we maintain that they are, in effect, nationals. There is law to effect that. But this is important because your decision is going to affect how the law is interpreted, not just with regard to the Mohammadi family, who were acting in American interest to remove this regime, and we're still fighting over that. It's going to affect you with ISIS and other terrorist threats that are coming up with regard to Americans that are going overseas and participating in terrorist acts there. And the argument is going to be made, well, this had no effect in the United States. There's sovereign immunity. Well, there can be no sovereign immunity, number one, for Iran. It has not. It's a terrorist state, and that's the exception here. But number two, your decision is very, very important because there are going to be many more of these cases in the future. And you have the opportunity to clarify the law, which to date has been, I think, misinterpreted by the lower court.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clayman.
You're welcome.
Case is submitted.